My name's Will DeFreeze, and this is the Sunday Scaries Podcast, your cure for the Sunday blues. You've been through all the engagement parties and wedding showers that you can stand. The regular bar circuit has grown stale, and you don't want to sit at home flipping through the Apple TV menu trying to find something to watch anymore. This means one thing and one thing only. Enter the adult dinner party. They'll start few and far between. No one really wants to surrender their place to the torment of their closest friends, because we all know that vacuuming kind of sucks. But eventually, it becomes easier than going out. Easier than waiting in lines to go to bars playing top 40 songs you've never heard before. Easier than being around people more enthusiastic about Rail Vodka than you. You become just another person standing around talking about work while wearing a Brooks Brothers button-down underneath a Peter Millar quarter-zip cashmere cotton blend sweater. And I think we can all agree that you don't want to be that person in a busy bar. It's a harsh realization, but it's a necessary realization. You're an adult now, and the parties you attend reflect that. The differences between house parties as a young 23-year-old and a group gathering as someone in your late 20s will shock and horrify you. These, my friends, are those differences. The first is that the alcohol is actually provided. Sure, you have to bring a bottle of wine as a gesture, but all that entails is going to Whole Foods and picking out the most expensive-looking $12.99 bottle of wine that they offer in hopes that the hosts of the party never really look up how much it actually costs. It's a small price of admission to be an adult. If you're lucky, they'll just bring that very same bottle of Malbec that you brought to the party to your party a few months later. Bar carts are all the rage right now. You find me a wedding registry on the knot, and I'll find you a Mad Men-esque bar cart that will eventually be littered in $35 bottles of booze that came from a stock the bar party that you begrudgingly attended. And when is that alcohol consumed? Well, exclusively at these dinner parties. Another difference is that no one finishes the appetizers. Meat and cheese boards, or as you know them, probably charcuterie, have replaced buffalo chicken dip as the appetizer of the moment. Prior to that, it was spinach artichoke dip before it fell out of favor because it's one of the more overrated appetizers that there is, but that's neither here nor there. What kills me by night's end is that these meat and cheese boards go completely unfinished. There may be a rogue chunk of mangled brie or a few pieces of soppressata just begging to get eaten, but being the person who takes the last of the scraps is pretty much social suicide. We live in a health-conscious society, which is why the aforementioned dips disappeared in the first place. You used to be able to scrape the bottom of a Velveeta container with the last of the Tostitos, but not anymore. It's a tough look. As much as you want to snag that last piece of prosciutto, you can't be the person clearing the board because you don't want to face the question, "Hey, who ate the last piece of prosciutto?" Load up early and then just coast until dinner. Another difference, some people actually drive themselves. I know, it still shocks me too. I'd say these people need to get off their high horses, but sometimes life gets in the way. And by life, I mean things like tea times, half marathons, and, you know, kids. Woof. I never thought I'd have a group of friends responsible enough to attend a social event that left them sober enough to drive themselves home, but I also never thought I'd be old enough to stop drinking red wine out of solo cups either. Come night's end, a lot of people will take their coats out of the designated coat room, which is just the extra bedroom, and make their way to their mid-sized SUVs only to drive home without taking back roads to avoid the cops. These are the same people who will go for runs the next morning. Just despicable behavior. But the people who don't drive themselves, they all seem to leave at a reasonable hour, unfortunately. Maybe you got some single friends who don't have babysitters to pay or dogs to let out. Either way, there's no judgment coming from this end. There's a high chance that I'm still going to leave these parties with red wine mouth and an Uber queued up. The only difference between this Uber and the Ubers that I'm more accustomed to taking is that I'm really calling them at 11 p.m. instead of at last call. Literally just foaming at the mouth to go to bed at the same time that I make my way out for the night, or when I used to make my way out for the night. You might even be receiving texts from your younger coworkers asking if you're going out that night as someone shuttles you back to your apartment for the rest of the night. There's no shame in responding that you're headed home, because after all, you started at 6 o'clock while those young whippersnappers were still just curing last night's hangover. Another difference, there will be candles, a lot of candles. My favorite part of my parents' 90s dinner parties was snuffing the candles when everyone left, and my parents peeled me off the couch after I watched D2 Mighty Ducks for the 100th time. The snuffed smell still gets me. It's just all the nostalgia. I really wish that somebody would just make a scented candle with the smell of snuffed candles in it, but maybe that's my responsibility. No longer are we worried about randos knocking them over or setting your IKEA futon on fire. Now, candles are pretty much a status symbol. Couples have drawers in their homes dedicated to storing these things, myself included. And some of them aren't even scented. They exist purely for ambiance. It's a wild world that we're living in these days. And finally, the biggest difference is that you actually eat dinner. We aren't in come over and do a power hour territory anymore. That's for a 20-year-old's game and people clinging to their youth. When you enter your responsible friend's apartment, it's entirely possible it smells like something that's been cooking for upwards of 45 minutes. Lasagna, game hen, casseroles, stuff you find on Pinterest. And the kicker? People actually sit down and they use cloth napkins and flatware that they registered for. They're pretty much daring you to stay sober enough that you won't fall asleep at the table while the fire loop plays on Netflix and Bublé Pandora blasts through the Sonos speakers. But despite the full meal and early bedtime, you'll probably still wake up hungover though. And not just because you're old, it's because you definitely ended up opening that bottle of Malbec before you Ubered home. When you're walking the aisles at the grocery store, there are so many hard seltzers to choose from, but the option with something extra always makes your choice a little bit easier. As the first hard seltzer with antioxidant vitamin C, Vizzy brings something unique and delicious to the table. I love so much about summer, the warm weather, the patios, the longer days, and having a crisp and refreshing hard seltzer like Vizzy Watermelon is just the perfect cherry on top. Just in time for summer, Vizzy Hard Seltzer just dropped an all watermelon variety pack hitting shelves last July. Made with real watermelon juice and antioxidant vitamin C, Vizzy is known for, extracted from superfruit acerola cherry, it's bold and delicious, they have dual fruit flavors, real watermelon juice and antioxidant vitamin C, and it makes your seltzer choice a little easier and a lot tastier. The new variety pack includes four delicious flavors: blueberry watermelon, kiwi watermelon, passion fruit watermelon, and mango watermelon. Vizzy Watermelon joins Vizzy's other popular packs, including Vizzy Hard Lemonade, or Lemonade Hard Seltzer, and Vizzy Variety Packs 1 and 2. My favorite ones have actually been these recent watermelons. Kiwi is probably my favorite fruit of all time, and they absolutely knocked it out of the park with the kiwi watermelon flavor. It never hurts to add some vitamins and antioxidants to the mix, and with Vizzy Watermelon, you can enjoy refreshment now with antioxidant vitamin C. And at 5% ABV, 100 calories, and 1 gram of real cane sugar per can, every sip of Vizzy is more exhilarating. Upgrade your hard seltzer to Vizzy. To find out where you can purchase Vizzy, go to VizzyHardSeltzer.com/washed. That's VizzyHardSeltzer.com/washed. And to get updates on our latest flavor drops and more, sign up for our emails at VizzyHardSeltzer.com/subscribe. That's VizzyHardSeltzer.com/subscribe. Must be 21 or older. There are a few trademarks of any adult's life: moving out of your parents' house, getting your first grown-up job, or having all matching flatware in your kitchen. But as it goes with anything, there are certain benchmarks that you hit that make you work even harder, that make you prove your worth and test your patience. And no, I'm not talking about having kids here. In fact, I'm talking about the other thing that's so difficult to raise, so scary to keep alive, and always in the back of your mind when you're doing other tasks. Yes, of course, I'm talking about houseplants. My long-storied history with fiddle leaf figs would lead listeners to believe that I do not have much of a green thumb, and unfortunately, that assumption is 100% correct. My relationship with houseplants is rockier than any other relationship I've ever had in my life, including my 8th grade girlfriend who dumped me via MSN Messenger. The watering, the plant food, the ups, the downs, this, my friends, is the 5 stages of houseplants. Our first is excitement. Maybe you went to Home Depot on a hungover Sunday, or perhaps you ordered it from a millennial-branded direct-to-consumer company online, or maybe you just went to a nursery and talked to a professional about what's right for your apartment. But either way, you're now the proud owner of a brand new houseplant. Congratulations! It could be a snake plant, a ponytail palm, maybe even a peace lily. The world is your oyster, and now you have a large green plant to show for it. Oh, the possibilities! Maybe it could be placed in the master bedroom next to the dresser, or on a coffee table in the living room to bring everything to life. Because the second it enters your place, you know that it's only going to make you crave buying another and another and another until your apartment looks like a greenhouse. Take in that breath of fresh air, because you're officially the proud owner of a houseplant. The next stage is more confusion. Okay, where did that tag go that had all the watering instructions on it? I know I put it somewhere, but maybe I threw it out when I got rid of everything else that came with it. I know, I can just Google how to take care of it. When I look it up on Google, it says that it requires sunlight, but not direct sunlight for a sustained amount of hours. Water is needed or whenever the soil feels dry. Avoid direct sunlight and temperatures over 90 degrees. Do not overwater, not pet friendly. I mean, this list goes on. Great. Not only did I just purchase a plant that both needs water, but not too much water, but if my dog eats it, she'll fall over immediately. Perfect. Maybe the appropriate plan of action is to simply put it next to the window over here that gets a few hours of sunlight in the morning. That should do the trick, right? Well, that's when the hesitation sinks in. All right, it's been 3 days. Not only is it shedding, but I can't tell if the soil is dry, moist, or somewhere in between. Does it need water? Does it need more sunlight? Do I need to put it outside in case it's too cold in my air-conditioned apartment? The last thing I want to do is overwater this thing, but I also don't want it to be as parched as I am after a night of drinking endless vodka sodas. It's at this point that you compromise. Maybe a little water, maybe a little repositioning, and definitely a lot of overthinking when it comes to what's going on next. Worst case scenario is that it dries out a bit and you have to bring it back to life. Or wait, should I overwater it now in hopes that it straightens itself out over the next few days? Or should I go back to the nursery and buy another one and do some A-B testing with how to keep my newfound foliage alive? It's all this that leads to the point of desperation. You plop down on your couch, you have your laptop open ready to go full Charles Darwin on this thing. It sits there looking out the window wondering what it would be like if it never had become a houseplant in the first place. Would it thrive in the wild, or would it get eaten by a stray cat looking for anything to eat? The edges of the leaves are beginning to look a little burnt out. When you water it, the water comes dripping out the bottom, causing an absolute mess. And in fact, you can't even remember what day you last watered it because they've all run together at this point. You wonder if you should have even bought it in the first place. Are you responsible enough to even be a houseplant owner at this point, you wonder? Or should you have stuck with fake plants that you got from Bed Bath & Beyond your senior year in college? Damn it, why didn't you just get a succulent? You pretty much have to be a cold-blooded killer to let one of those things die. As you look at your plant with dismay, you realize that you simply aren't cut out for keeping it alive at this point. Not only that, but you consider all possibilities. Overwatering it to ensure it doesn't dry out, throwing it directly into the apartment complex dumpster, or, heaven forbid, tucking your tail between your legs and calling your parents for advice. But then we finally reach the final stage, abandonment. What is life at this point? Does life have to be long-lived in order to be a good life? Was the worst day of this plant's life when my hungover self walked up to it and decided that it was the one? Will my neighbors judge me if they see me getting rid of this plant just 10 days after I brought it home? Questions begin to arise, not just about what to do with the plant, but about whether or not you're fit to be in charge of literally anything at this point. You know what, you ask yourself? I'm just gonna let nature run its course. For the next few days, you go about your life with like that damn plant never even entered it. Sure, it'll dry out and probably die, but at least it will be off my conscience once she's gone. A happy hour here, museum trip there, a night out where you don't remember coming home that well. If this were anything living but a plant, your neighbors may call the authorities about the neglect that you're showing. But that following Sunday, as the sun flows into your bedroom directly onto that Mexican fortune tree, you notice something. It looks spry? It's no longer losing leaves? The soil you've worried so much about, it's neither too damp nor too dry. You look at yourself in the mirror and simply see Martha Stewart looking back at you. Somehow, some way, you've managed to do the impossible. You've kept your houseplant alive for more than a week. And it, dare I say, it might be thriving? Looks like it's time to step up to the big leagues and drop the bag on a fiddle leaf fig. No way that will end poorly. Now that the world's opening back up, so many new thrills are on the horizon. And whether you've been in a relationship for years or just getting started or excited to get back out there and meet new people, when the moment comes, you want to be ready. Roman ready. Go to GetRoman.com/scaries now to talk to a U.S. licensed healthcare professional. With Roman, you can get free online evaluations and ongoing care for erectile dysfunction, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. Roman ready means confidence. The confidence that you need to rise to the occasion in the moment. We're looking at the Summer of Love, the 2021 version, and Roman wants to make sure you can participate in your way, whether it be as a single person or as a couple who would still rather stay with each other. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping, and the whole process is straightforward, convenient, and most of all, discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/scaries and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home and complete an online visit today to connect with a U.S. licensed healthcare professional and get it taken care of. Go to GetRoman.com/scaries today, and if you're prescribed, get 50% off of your first month of ED treatment. Make sure you're ready to have the confidence and control this summer. Roman ready. An oat milk latte at Cafe Nervosa. The seared duck at Chez Henri. Or maybe just some Cornish game hens prepared by Daphne, with Frasier special sauce, of course. As you may have gathered, yes, Frasier is my all-time favorite sitcom. When I was probably only about 10 years old, I asked my parents a question I'll always remember asking. Mom, why are the characters on this show British? And after my parents broke the news to me that they weren't British, they're just rich, the show began to click for me a little bit more. It wasn't until a slower winter in northern Michigan that I really started watching it intently. Lifetime played 2 episodes per night, from 10 p.m. till about 11 p.m., and I recorded the entire series by winter's end. And nowadays, it's been my wife and I's favorite show to fall asleep to without hesitation. It's been our weeknight wind down, our Sunday security blanket, and a constant for us during a lot of times when things felt all but. My affinity for the show, whether you find it just or not, has pigeonholed me with friends and podcast followers alike. If something Frasier-related happens, I'm normally sent messages and DMs ensuring it doesn't slip by me. Just this past week, an article was published by Vice titled, "Frasier Bane is the New 90s Decor Trend Based on the Show Frasier." The first things that came to my head were, decor trend? 90s nostalgia? Frasier? It soon became evident that I couldn't avoid this news, and it was my duty to take it head on. The author admits that this isn't an aesthetic or trend that he came up with himself. He said, and I quote, that he came across the archival work of the Consumer Aesthetics Research Institute, CARI, which is a collective association of designers and researchers who categorize consumer aesthetics from the late mid-century, and is basically building out a new free taxonomy for these micro-movements. Or as I'll just refer to it, this is essentially just a Wikipedia, but for vibes. When I think of Frasier's apartment, I think of a few trademark things. His black Eames chair that he rarely sits in, his geometrically designed fireplace, and of course the outlier, Marty's beat-up recliner. But those attributes aside, there's something consistent about the entire branding of the show, whether it's intentional or not. The beige, the gaudy furniture, the style that is so 90s that they can't possibly come back into style because it would simply seem over the top. Let's visit Evan Collins' explanation for the aesthetic that he himself defined. He was the one who came up with this for the Wikipedia for Vibes that I coined it earlier. He said, "Frasier Bane, titled from the 1990s TV show Frasier, draws from the breakthroughs made by the 1990s grunge movement, but filtered through the lens of a more conservative and aging baby boomer population that was settling down, becoming more wealthy and more suburban. Serif fonts abound, accentuated with underlining, italicization, and various weights. These are usually coupled with warm sepia or black and white images of timeless classical representations of basic concepts, sometimes in a surrealist manner, often in soft focus and featuring heavily staged product photography." That's a lot to take in. I will not say that I understand everything that he said, but let's look at the current state of the Sunday Scaries brand as this relates to this. The 90s imagery on the Instagram page, the beige and hunter green in the logo, the serif-loaded Garamond typeface that's littered over every single thing that I put out. To even pretend like Frasier, or really that entire era, didn't significantly affect my taste and direction for my own personal creative outlet, it would be disingenuous. I would even venture to guess that my affinity for 5-inch inseam shorts isn't just because of my short legs, but because Frasier Crane has an unbelievable squash outfit. I referenced this recently, but when it comes to cyclical fashion, I always think back to my dad. He's worn the same aviator sunglasses for as long as I can remember. And it's not just aviators in general. He's literally wore the same pair for as literally as long as I can remember. And his reasoning? He told me, because they'll always come back into style at some point. So when these trends, or aesthetics as the kids call them, begin to pop up, it invokes a myriad of emotions in me. There's excitement, the happiness that I get to relive things that I love for what feels like the first time again. But then there's sadness. Sadness that the things I love will now be seen everywhere. Kind of like when a band that you were early on gets big and you hear them everywhere after the fact. But then there's the nostalgia, something that's been a running theme, that's something that I just can't escape lately. It tastes so good that I find myself going back for more. So whether it's bistro vibes from last week's episode or Frasier Bane, I think we can all agree that sometimes memory lane is a road worth driving, even if you can't afford to do it in Fraser's Mercedes-Benz E55 AMG sedan. If you liked what you heard today, make sure to subscribe, review, or tell a friend in need about this podcast. By subscribing, you guarantee that each and every episode gets delivered directly to your phone every Sunday morning. You can also follow along on Twitter at SundayScaries and Instagram, which is at Sunday.Scaries, or you can follow me both on Twitter and Instagram at WillDeFreeze. And remember, always trim the wicks on your scented candles. See you next Sunday.